Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Cornwell. Do you want to take the lead, or you want me to, or?
Don't fight over kids.
All right. No, what I will do first, members of council, as you know, we've been working on a commercial zoning ordinance, which establishes new commercial zoning districts. And what I'm doing is passing down the work product from that, along with some tables that go with it. This is the same information that has been presented to council at several times over the past, I would say, 6 months, maybe a little bit longer. What it does is it splits our current zoning districts, our current B1 and commercial zoning districts, into smaller districts that are more closely grouped together with similar uses. And it's designed to kind of give more predictability to council, to applicants, property owners, there's one more table, and also the public, probably most importantly, the public. One of the concerns we often get at public hearings is that an applicant comes forward on a rezoning, it's not site plan specific, and so there's any number of things that could actually go there, and rather than what they may have presented as part of their application. So this helps to clarify that. It's been a collaboration with county legal staff, planning and zoning staff, and AECOM. AECOM has really taken a large lift on this and trying to organize the various classifications. And we got it to a point with those charts that you had seen, where we also took it through a stakeholder meeting of people that would be utilizing these tools in the code, and it was favorably received. So with that, what we did is put it into ordinance form. I'm not going to run through the entire ordinance. It is, about 43 pages long. The reason it's so long, just to give a brief overview, is if you think about take our current CR1 zoning district in our code, for everything you have to have in it with the purpose, the permitted uses, accessory uses, bulk, and everything else, that takes up about 3 or 4 pages for each zoning district in our current code. So if we're adding 6 or 7 new districts, we got to organize it the same way. So that's why there's heft in it. But the new districts that we've done is for what's currently B1. We've essentially broken that down into B2 business community and B3 business research. And then for the C1 and CR1, we've broken that down into 5 new classifications, which is C2 medium commercial, C3 heavy commercial, C4 planned commercial district, and C5 service limited manufacturing district, and then an I-1 institutional district, with C-2 being kind of the smaller uses. C-4, the planned commercial district, that's the one that allows kind of a combination of site plan review and conditions as part of the rezoning for larger scale things, so that it's site-specific and use-specific. And then the I-1 institutional district, we look to pull out some more of the institutional uses like hospitals and schools and things like that that really aren't truly commercial, and put them in their own classification to kind of give them their own area. And so going through that, we realized there were some things that connected to that, to these changes. We had to pull in some, cross-references and things. We've addressed those. We think it's a really good ordinance for introduction. There's a couple things that I need some clarification on from you all, some date issues. With that, I don't really want to go through the details of the districts, because we've already done it, and B, we're going to get a chance to do it in public hearings, both before planning and zoning and county council. But certainly answer any questions, either me or Janelle or the folks from AECOM.
What we need to do today is just introduce it.
That's
so
correct.
We start the process.
Yes. That's correct.
Basic questions before we.
Cole. Things like in these commercial districts, there are in this document minimum square footages is required, because I see sometimes we rate, I don't think we have now a minimum for a CR1 application. Somebody could come in for a half acre. Somebody could come in for 40 acres. Is there a minimum? Because I come sometime in my mind think that our most sophisticated commercial districts, or any of the commercial districts, ought to have a minimum square footage. And maybe also, before you answer, minimum frontage, maybe minimum setbacks. Is all that now established?
The setbacks are definitely in there. The lot width, the lot depth are definitely in there. We did look at minimum lot sizes, and that would actually be in one of the tables at the end. where there are minimum, like the C2, the minimum would be 15,000 square feet. For the C3, the minimum would be in 1 acre, so you'd have to have at least that minimum to ask for that new zoning classification. And that's in the attachment 1, table 1.
Okay, so but in like under one of these new categories like sales, rentals of goods, merchandise, and equipment, there isn't like one, is there one standard minimal like say square footage of the lot size for that category?
It would be for the overall zoning district. So the
all
zoning,
of them.
All, well,
any of them would
within that district. So like the item you're looking at is one category of permitted use within that district. Within that district, there's the minimums and setbacks and frontage and everything else.
Okay, because I sometimes think in the past we've rezoned things commercial that were on little postage stamps, and it was almost, you know, it just didn't justify it. Like I said, so okay.
Now this covers that.
But now 15,000 square feet, that is what percentage of a acre?
It's around a quarter of an acre.
So we're going to permit a quarter of an acre to be zoned commercial on,
right,
say, coastal highway?
Well, in different locations. It could be, it's all up to where you determine that zoning classification would make most logical sense. And that C2 is one of the smaller ones, so you know your less intense uses could be located in there. So you could have some of those smaller uses.
C2, okay.
C2.
Okay, an example of something in a C2 would be any of these things can go into a C2?
Any of the two in the table under C2, as long as it says it's permitted. Again, that's the minimum. So it could come in as a larger, but it could also be a smaller.
I'm just thinking 50, a quarter acre for commercial activity is by the time you get a parking and building and everything.
Well, but keep in mind, like for C2, the kinds of things that are permitted are, you know, apartment above a commercial or office use or a bed and breakfast. You know, as Ms. Cornwell pointed out, a lot of them are convenience store. They're the smaller ones. And it's graduated. So when you get to C3, I think it goes up to an acre, and then C4 is the planned commercial, which gets even larger. So and the uses expand as you kind of increase the the commercial zone.
Okay. Would there be anything in here requiring cross easements so that we can connect parking lots without?
There is nothing in here requiring cross access between developments.
As a planner, don't you think we should maybe going forward?
I do know that the Planning Commission has looked at that for a number of commercial developments and had applicants look into considering that.
Well, I don't want to consider it. I think we ought to be requiring it because, again, it helps shopping. You know, if you're a shopper, you can go from, you know, parking lot to parking lot to parking lot without having to get back on, say, coastal. I'll keep using Coastal Highway or Route 13. So I don't know why we wouldn't be requiring and then make it maybe so that the applicant, if it was because of the configuration of the land or the way it's located, could ask for an exemption from it. But I think it ought to be required as opposed to us, you know, thinking about it at the time or somebody catching it, say, you know, hey, how about a cross easement? Because maybe there's nothing there today, but God, we all know it's a thing. So I would just suggest that we should have something like that. That's part of the problems we've got now.
And I think that's a good point. I would just maybe suggest that this ordinance isn't the place because the thing is, if we do it in this ordinance, we would pick it up for the new districts, but not necessarily for all the C1 and CR1 that we already have. That may be something that we can deal with as a standalone item in the zoning code that picks up everything else too, in addition to these new ones. But
it would actually be a better fit to address that in the supplementary regulations, where a lot of that happens, where you get different regulations for a lot more zoning classifications. But this is just to create those new zoning districts and close the current ones.
I think that, Mr. Cole, if that's something council wants to do, that's an easy enough fix to do separately.
Well, for 30 years, we've heard that, you know, either those service roads or something help. It's good. It's better. Everybody benefits. The state of Delaware having to get all this other stuff into pedestrian and everything else. Anyway, I think it would be essential as we do this. It's part of this whole improve it. And it just concerns me sometimes about the parcel size that we allow sometimes, yeah, pretty intense uses on.
Any more questions of council?
Mr. Burton.
Okay. Just so I'm understanding this chart. So a retail sales establishment from 35,000 to 90,000, you can put that in a B1, a C1, a CR1, a C2, a C3, and a C4.
Correct, but there are requirements in those C2, C3, and C4. So there are additional...
That's what the footnotes are.
Yeah, there are a number of footnotes saying that there are certain accessory uses permitted or if there's outdoor storage permitted. But yes, a larger business like that could occur in any of those zoning classifications.
What is the encouragement then? Why would somebody choose? Why wouldn't I just go for CR1 like we have done in the past? I don't know what's funneling people into these new zones.
Well, the intent would be to close the C1, the CR1, and the B1. So if anybody was going to come through and ask for a rezoning, they'd actually have to pick one of these new zoning classifications. So they could no longer pick the CR1 or the B1.
Okay, so
the intent is to kind of funnel them to kind of figure out, hopefully meet with staff, and we'll have a discussion and go, okay, what are you trying to do? What kind of makes sense? And then to make that request to the council.
Okay, but it doesn't having the different zones doesn't require them to go into a certain zone. It's not a mandatory. I'm going to do this business, so therefore I'm in this zone?
There is a little bit of that.
Yeah.
There are some uses that you're only going to be able to do in the B2. A lot of zonings, it's a pyramid. C1 goes back to the B1. In this case, we're breaking that up a little bit. So there is some overlap, but we are actually eliminating some of that overlap as well. So if you're looking for certain uses, you do need that specific zoning classification. Some are a little bit broader, but some of them are much narrower.
Okay. I got to study it.
Question to council?
Mr. Arlett. Just a comment / question, if I may, Mr. President. And I presume, but I want to hear it from you. This is all about growing the economy in Sussex County, correct? I mean, that's really what the goal here, I presume, is to attract new industries, attract manufacturers, attract new industry. Is this going to accomplish that goal?
I think it will.
And can you explain how?
Yes, I can. It will give more predictability for everybody, and I think predictability is good for the economy because you know what you need to do to get where you want to be if you're somebody who wants to move into Sussex County with a business. It takes the unpredictability out from people who have sort of sometimes fear of the unknown. You know, like I said, when we get a zoning application for a CR1 that could be any of, you know, a number of different things, people are concerned because they hear a good project, but they also think, well, that may be a nice project, but 10 years down the road, it could be somebody else and something else completely different. And so that generates opposition to projects that, if there's more certainty, wouldn't have opposition. So I think the one thing that you hear from, that you all hear, and we hear at Planning and Zoning, and that you hear in conversations with the public and with developers is, give us predictability and tell us what the rules are. And this is an effort to do that so that it'll hopefully make the process better for everybody. I think it's something that'll make it easier, as I said, for you all, P&Z, for the public, and people utilizing it.
Anything you want to add, or I have it?
No, I concur.
Okay.
It'll maybe streamline a little bit so they understand, okay, I'm looking to do this. This is the zoning classification I need to ask for.
Okay. And then the other question that I would have is, do we have the ability, and maybe this is going to do it, but how can we streamline the process? We've got to grow our economy. We have to attract some new businesses in this county. We do, to keep our kids. I mean, this is plain and simple. So the question is, how are we going to do that with our zoning and even our process through the application process? Is there an ability to streamline the process, fast track, if you would, to attract people to come here, and how can we accomplish that goal?
there's probably a way to do that. This is going to at least make it clearer for applicants knowing what they want to do, to know where what zoning classification to ask for. To get through the process, there's probably a number of ways. They are not specifically called out in this ordinance. That might take some other ordinances to look at to make that that application go faster.
Could we do that? I mean, is that something that you guys could suggest or present to us as how we could streamline some of these processes?
We can look at it. The thing, we've got some constraints. State agencies, we've got Title IX that sets out the process, how we've got to work with P&Z and County Council. There's timing with publication and things like that. Historically, though, the issue we've run into is that when we speed things up, like, for example, when we didn't have a backlog, we'd be ready to go, and we'd have a hearing, and we're waiting on state agencies to comment or plus or whatever. So we'd be ahead, but we had to wait for people to catch up. So,
Can we propose something to our state so therefore we as a state can be more friendly in our private sector?
That's certainly something we can look at, you know, where bottlenecks are and, you know,
sure.
Have that conversation.
I think we should not use them as the excuse, but find a reasons to make some changes.
Yeah. But, Rob, I think. I may interject. You're talking about growing the economy. I think our problem, as I ride around Rehoboth and the coastal area right now, there's nothing but help wanted signs. There's right now a problem finding employees for a lot of those types of business. We're actually importing them from here. Where we're lacking the jobs, the emphasis, and I don't think this is the place to do it, is manufacturing, those kind of jobs. We don't have any problem with service jobs. My God, look at the restaurants, they can't find the people. So I think your concern should be more into our, like I said, attracting maybe with our new business, economic development and all that stuff, that direction. I don't think through zoning we're going to be able to bring manufacturing jobs through this to Sussex County and appeal to anybody. I just think this is, like they said, predictability. I think the neighbors, the people out there, the public hearing process. Today we got two public hearings. Two of them are commercial.
Yes.
What categories? Just run me if it's appropriate. Could you just use them as an example of what category would they be in if we were using this system? Is that a?
I don't know. I'm not prepared to do that. I'd hate to do that, particularly since we have hearings
on this
afternoon.
I'd just love to see an example of how, or maybe a past. Well, that we voted on or something like that.
Well, I think
certainly what we can do is when we have the public hearing, we can give some examples of what would fall.
I want to see the setbacks, relationship. I want to see the size of lots and all that stuff, because, again, over the years, I've just felt that we sometimes aren't making parcels. Yeah. We're giving too small of a parcel the ability to do some intense commercial.
And that's something we can do.
And it becomes a problem.
Through a PowerPoint or whatever is give you examples, just, you know, diagrams of the sizes, you know, what it's going to look like, whatever. Yeah.
But obviously, that one last comment, Mr. President, was DelDOT. I'm sure all the state agencies will like this predictability, right? This will be easier. You want to talk about streamlining. When DelDOT gets an application now, they don't have this long list that they got to worry about. They've got a much more narrower list to deal with and to make their engineering comments on entrances and things of that nature. Would that be a true statement, you think?
It's quite possible. I can't speak on their processes.
No, nobody can, but... I would assume it would be a...
You would think so.
You would help. Think so.
Wilson?
Can you tell me what predictability is? Explain that.
Sure. So, as I mentioned, right now, and I'll give you it in the context of this, right now somebody comes in and applies for CR1 and they want to put, you know, a restaurant up. The fact of the matter is we can't consider whether it's a restaurant or not. We've got to look at whether it's going
to
be a restaurant.
It's supposed to.
You know... shopping center, a gas station, some sort of warehousing, car dealerships, you know, any number of things. And people get concerned about that because they want to know more predictability, what it is that's going to be on that street corner or whatever. Just it's having a better understanding, better knowledge kind of what the future holds for that
parcel.
Are you
trying to say we're going to control what the other person owns it and tell them what they got to build?
Nope, because we haven't deleted any of the permitted uses. In fact, we've added some to keep up with the times that weren't in our code. So anybody that can do anything right now in Sussex County can do that and more under this proposed ordinance.
Sounds like to me when you say predictability, that's exactly where we're going.
No, because you can always apply for what you need to get what you want to get done.
Well, so. How can this person out here once got a restaurant up, and they want to build a chicken house across the street? You're going to tell them what they can do and can't do, although it's ag land?
Different.
No. Different.
Different thing. That,
yeah, that's not in here.
Nothing to do with that.
That wouldn't be nothing to do with it.
We got nothing to do with that.
What would I have to do with it? In other words, George, what you're saying, or Cardin, what some of you, Cardin, some of the council members.
He's picking on me again this morning.
Cardin, what some of the things here, they want to build more. They need more for employment. In other words, call New York City, New York State, and our town, New York itself. Ask them, that, do they have enough buildings that they can, are enough people there? They got them stacked up to about 50 high, 50 stories high. And it still seems like maybe, do we need to build that kind of way to get more production here? Is that what we're trying to do here?
I don't think that's what we're trying to do, no.
It looks that way, doesn't it?
No, to you, maybe.
Sound like me, George. Sound like you're heading that way.
Any more questions or comments from council?
Mr. President, I just have one question if you're inclined to introduce it. I need to know the effective date of it, and that affects two things. One, when these new districts would be going forward, and also when that closes out the CR1 and the B1. My suggestion would be to make it like 90 days after the date of adoption. We can always change that when we go through the hearing process, but I don't want to leave a blank in this if it's going to be.
I would think that'd be fine now. If we want to change that during the hearing process, we can change it. So
you can't make it longer. We can make it shorter.
No, I think you can. You can adjust it.
Either way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We've heard that today. Okay. Yeah. Now Everett's not going to come in here and say, no, we can't.
All right. Well, I'll make that 90 days. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything else?
That's all I have.
Okay.
Thank you.
If you would read the short title, if it is short title.
It is not very short, but I will read it.
Read the title.
It is an ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Articles 1, 10, 11A, 20, 21, 23, 25, and 27 by amending Sections 115-4, 115-5, 115-75, 115-83.10, 115-156, 115-195.4, 115-195.5, 115-161.1, 115-170.1, 115-180, 115-194.1, and 115-218, and by creating new articles 10A, 10B, 11B, 11C, 11D, 11E, and 11F, and adding new sections 115-75.1 through 115-75.13, and 115-83.11 through 115-83.46 to create a new B2 business community district, B3 business commercial or business research district, C2 medium commercial district, C3 heavy commercial district, C4 planned commercial district, C5 service limited manufacturing distance and district, and I1 institutional district, and to close the CR1 and B1 districts.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Well, let's introduce it.
Let's introduce it.
Mr. Arlett, introduce it.
There you go.
We're good. Okay.
I got one final question. I just saw something before we move on. It just answer this question for me. It says here, and it, see if we have any ability to change this. Under agricultural related uses, the first line there says agriculture uses 5 acres or more, including, and then it's got a lot of lists in there. So the concern, I think, as we're moving forward are, you know, 5 acres. Saying you're a farm in Sussex County.
Mm-hmm.
If we decide that 5 acres isn't, you've got here commercial slaughtering and processing of large animals, it sounds to me like that would be permitted on 5 acres. That's AR1 land, which is a residential district. I can't believe we should be supporting something like that. We got feedlots, we got, anyway, there's manure structures, et cetera, animal waste. 5 acres. Doesn't appear to, as we grow into this growing county, and then AR1 being also a residential use with people who are adjoining lands, that it would be compatible. So I'm just awfully concerned, and we're also moving into the land use plan. There's a possibility there could be some changes there.
I agree. I think
if we adopt this with that 5 acre wording in there, are we stuck with it somehow?
Again, those are for existing uses in the C1 and CR1. So those are already permitted uses for the existing zoning classifications. We were not proposing any changes to uses in those two zoning classifications. We were just going to have, at the end of the ordinance, one table that included all of the uses for all of the zoning classifications.
Okay, I understand that, but I think there's a growing sense from my
sense of what's happening, is that 5 acres is going to be, is becoming an opinion, even currently is not sufficient. So we may have the ability to change some of this. Anyway, I'm just worried about the 5 acre designation, and we put it in, we codify it somehow here with this.
Yeah, we can look at that now, but keep in mind that this is that probably cannot be changed in this process because, okay, again, this deals with the new districts, and that's something that the new districts don't touch. That's in C1 and CR1. But I think that is something to the comp plan that we're going to be looking at for sure.
This 5 acres I'm reading here doesn't impact the commercial zoning categories we're talking about.
No.
Correct. It's not a permitted use in the new district.
Okay, so we're not districts. Okay, I'm just saying we're not codifying. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. I do have great concern then about the 5 acre minimum.
So that means if you buy 5 acres, you can't be a farmer.
Now, there's certain things you shouldn't be able to do on 5 acres, Sam.
That's what it says, isn't it?
That's what I just said.
Isn't that what you're saying, George?
That's what I just said. Yeah.
I think that's what you said.
If you have 5 acres,
you cannot be a farmer.
No, I didn't say that. You shouldn't. There's some uses.
That's the word you used. You cannot be a farmer.
I don't think that's exactly what he said.
I think that's really fine.
Sam?
I think what he's trying to say is, in his opinion, I won't speak, but in his opinion, 5 acres might not be enough land to do some of the things that you can do on there.
Well, I think it's implied you cannot be a farmer if you've got 5 acres or less.
Sam, read it any way you want. Moving along.
In other words, you just keep on, push farmers aside for the back.
No, nobody said that. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Darn farmers.
Mr. Medlars, Sussex County Landfill 2017 site maintenance projects.